Okay, if we could have everybody back, thank you.
All right. Can you hear me? Yes. Okay. So my name is Anushka Premji Osman. I'm one of the executive managing partners with Jevity Consulting, and I'm also the treasurer on the BeachImps board. Yes, that's why I was hiding earlier during registration. I am very honored to introduce our next speaker, who we were able to pry away from her cabin and her kids and spend this time with us. She is an executive director of health information management with Providence Healthcare. She is an accomplished and passionate leader who provides strategic and operational direction to HIM with a strong emphasis on partnership development and customer service. She has an extensive experience in health informatics with a career that truly embodies information technology and information management. She holds a Bachelor of Science degree in Health Information Science from the University of Victoria, which I think many of us here do, including myself, a certificate in Lean Healthcare from the University of Michigan, and a Master's degree in Health Administration from UBC. We are fortunate today to hear from her hear her perspective and experiences in the space of enabling healthcare innovation through business leadership and project collaboration. Please join me in welcoming Shelley Brown.
Good morning, everyone. Bing, you can hear me okay? And thanks, Anushka, for that that lovely introduction. I am really pleased to be here today to talk to all of you. And I did have a who am I slide, but I think Anushka did such a good job of actually introducing me that I'm going to skip right by that and really just talk a little bit about the agenda and what I'm hoping to present. So what I'm wanting to do is tell you a little bit about who HIM is, our department, what we do, who we support, that sort of thing. And I'm also going to talk a little bit about our approach, our partnership approach to key initiatives that we have underway, which I'm also going to explain as well. Anyone who does know me, and I think Anushka did mention it in the bio, knows that I have a very big passion with respect to partnership and working in collaboration to help enable and move key initiatives forward. I think we have lots of challenges with respect to all the projects and initiatives underway that we're working on, but I truly am a believer that it's through partnerships and collaboration and putting things on the table that really help us be able to be successful in those endeavors. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that and what HIM's perspective is and how we approach the work that we do with our partner organizations. And then finally, we do so much work in HIM, but I did want to pick just a couple talk a little bit about a couple of initiatives that we have underway that really do relate to the provincial IMIT strategy. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well, and then obviously have some time for questions. So first of all, who is HIM? So HIM is a Lower Mainland consolidated department. We actually formally report into Providence Healthcare, but we do support four health organizations, and those health organizations are Fraser Health, Vancouver Coastal Health, Provincial Health Services Authority, and Providence Healthcare. We have about 1,300 staff that work across about 39 sites within the province. And you'll see I've mentioned that we work in the five regional cancer centers across the province as well. We have five core business areas that we support. We have registration, records management. We have transcription, which includes health information exchange, as well as coding. And then we do have a small operations team that just supports us internally, HIM, in terms of just helping understand our data, helping with some communication types of activities, that sort of thing. The way Lower Mainland Consolidation works is that we actually have a service level agreement that we put in place with all of the organizations that mandates the work that we do. And one of the first things I'll say is that we actually provide operational oversight for all of the areas I've just mentioned. And what I mean by that is we're responsible for all the day-to-day activities of that work and making sure that we're doing that work in a very we're providing quality service in a timely way, that we're really looking at trying to do things as efficiently as possible to save healthcare dollars, you know, all those sorts of things. And if you look at this this slide here, I just thought I would present this to help you understand sort of the magnitude of the work that HIM does. So these figures are actually from 2015, but if you look, you can see how many people were registering our systems, how many requests for information from our health records department we're providing. We have processed a number of dictated reports, 1.4 million. That's just a huge number. And then if you look at the coding area, you can get a feel for how much coding we're doing for the various types of visits. So, again, just kind of wanting to help you understand the magnitude of that operational work. The other thing that we do as part of our mandate with the health authorities is we truly provide business leadership for those particular service areas and for health information management. And again, this is just a flavor of things that we do, but just wanted to help you understand what I mean by business leadership. So we are very actively involved in creating policy, best practices for the health organizations. An example would be health records policies, retention policies. We have a big role in ensuring that we have people understanding what they need to do to be able to, address confidentiality of the record, those sorts of things. We also play a really big role in standardization, and you can see standardization of document content, templates, nomenclatures, minimum data sets, all of the things that we know are really important in terms of supporting patient care, but also really play a big role in this whole idea of health information exchange. And I'm hearing some themes about that, given this morning's presentations. We also have a very large staff complement that focus on the data quality of our health records and also focus on clinical documentation improvement. Now, I often talk about those two together because what tends to happen is we're responsible for going in, looking and investigating to see where might there be data quality issues with the record and trying to pinpoint, where some of the issues are. And it's really really understanding those issues that we then take that next step, and then we will actually go and are responsible for working with clinicians to help them understand and educate them on, how might we be able to capture data in a better way, help them understand where things can go wrong in terms of the capture of that data, and just provide some of those support. So those two really do go hand in hand. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is that we are also subject matter. We provide a huge amount of subject matter expertise for the work that goes on with the advancement of the electronic health record. And in fact, I would even go so far as to say we are huge leaders in that work. So I know Yoel talked this morning about CST and the work that's going on there. My staff, HIM, are very involved in that work and actually lead many of the design design teams, registration being an example, records management being another example. So we are a huge player, obviously because of our knowledge and our domain, in health information, that we're able to bring a lot of that forward. Everything we do in HIM and everything I've just talked about, is really guided by our mission and our vision and our values. And I won't read these out in the interest of time, but I think one of the things that I do want to just mention here is that we take our values in HIM very seriously. So when we come to the table and we work with our partners, many of which are you around, in this room today, we really try to come forward in a very open and transparent way. We to talk about what solutions are the best solutions to be driving forward for patient care. We try to be very innovative in the work that we're doing and what we're bringing forward. Have that understanding that the complexity of the systems we're working in. That's who we are, and that's what we try to bring to the table. Other things that we really think about as well, and really, again, I guess you can say just are very mindful of when we are talking about solutions to support patient care, are things like making sure that whatever we're talking about and are thinking about, that we're trying to leverage assets that already exist. We try to work towards common solutions where it makes sense. I think the other thing I'll say is that we try in HIM very hard to be very objective to the work that we're doing. I think I can probably honestly say, or I can honestly say that, you know, we have solutions that we believe are the right solutions in HIM, and we think that's the greatest thing to do for patient care, and we need to be moving that forward. And sometimes we think, they're really sexy solutions, and we don't kind of want to let go of that solution. But we recognize that, you need to be really objective. When we're thinking about all of us how to move forward with work and our key initiatives and our key systems, we have to be able to try and bring that to the table, to kind of let go of that and be quite objective in what we're doing. We focus on long-term strategies, so strategic plans, love them. Love the provincial strategic plan. Where do we want to be? Where do we want to go in 5, 10 years? But HIM also tries to be very flexible and nimble in the work that we're doing, because when you do that and you pilot technologies or solutions, you can see is it of added value? Is that something that we want to be moving forward with? And quite honestly, as well, when we do those sorts of things, sometimes it meets a really immediate need for patient care. So again, while we try to focus on the strategies, we want to make sure that we're not being so slow that we don't meet some of those objectives along the way. Just a couple other things to mention in terms of our approach around partnership. We also, when we're looking at solutions and developing solutions and working through initiatives, we try to always keep return on investment in mind. So the idea here being, and anyone who knows us knows that when we're looking at projects, we'll sort of think, okay, well, where's the savings? Where are some of the opportunities to save some dollars with what we're doing? And we actually have actively done that in HIM, and we've then taken those dollars and provided those dollars back to the health authorities to be able to use for direct clinical care or to be able to help fund some of our other initiatives along the way, because we all know funding is always a challenge. And then finally, I already spoke about it, but we always try to keep the patient in mind in everything we do. So that's a little bit about HIM and just kind of who we are and what our approach is to the work that we do. So what I'd like to do now is just sort of segue to just four initiatives again or four sort of key focus areas that we're involved in. Again, not near the amount of work that we do, but trying to, again, sort of pick and choose some ones that may be of interest to the audience today. So what I thought I would start with is client identity, because client identity, the bottom line for me is it is critical and foundational to every single project or initiative that any of you are involved in or that I'm involved in around health information and moving those initiatives forward. And what I mean by client identity is this idea of having accurate patient information in our systems. And I won't get into a lot of the details, but what I will say is it's core for patient safety. We don't want physicians or clinicians recording on patient records where it's not the right patient. It is core to any interoperability related work that's going on. If you're trying to talk about linking that patient's care across the continuum, you need to have an accurate idea of who that patient is to be able to bring that information together. And the bottom line is, as we move forward with more electronic health systems going forward, if we don't have accurate client identity, we are not going to have trust in our systems. And then all the work that we're doing to help support, patient care is, you have to ask yourself, does that make sense? So we don't want this to happen. So two things I wanted to so HIM is involved in a lot of work around client identity, but the two things I want to talk about today are quickly is the BC Services Card and the EMPI, because they're really important, I think, in moving this idea forward. So the BC Services Card is a Ministry of Health initiative. It's in about year three of rollout. It's about a five-year implementation plan. And what the BC Services Card is, quite simply, is when you go in and you renew your driver's license, and we know that happens within a five-year time frame, you now have what they call the BC Services Card coming back, which has your driver's license information, but also your PHN and your health information attached to that card. This card plays a very important role, and I'm going to just tell you just from two perspectives. I'm sure there's many more great things about this card. First of all, the card is used at point of care registration to help support client identity. So when patient X walks into the hospital, you show the patient, you show the care card. That's our way of again looking at, are we caring for the right patient? Are we getting that right demographic information, and et cetera? So it's a very important and continues to be a very important card that we use as part of our best practices for registration. The other thing I want to mention, though, is that the opportunity with the BC Services Card is for it to be used for internet-based self-service applications. Within HIM, some of the things that we think about and are interested in is having patients be able to self-schedule, for instance, or thinking about patient portals and patient access to information, which we're all interested in, and HIM certainly supports. It's using that card to be able to help do that. The way it's able to do that is that there is a very robust, sophisticated identity infrastructure that is linked to this card. Now, I'm not going to get into all of the details. I don't have time to do that today. But I have shown you some of the components that are a part of that infrastructure for at the end of the day that supports authentication. So the idea, again, that the patients at home, they can use, if you look at the tokens there, some of the tools that we need to be able to allow them to authenticate through that card. So there's a number of components to it, but the bottom line is it's a way to authenticate a client that enables us to support all of the work that we're doing going forward. So HIM is very interested in this. The other thing I just wanted to, I'll leave with you because I do think I heard that the presentation would be distributed, is I just thought I would include the schematic. So a couple of years ago, HIM worked with the Ministry of Health and the Ministry of Technology and Innovations to try and understand what this all means and how it sort of links together, this authentication process behind the card. So I thought some of you might be interested in that, and you can take that away and have a read. But bottom line, huge opportunities with the BC Services Card for client identity. The other one I wanted to mention was the EMPI. So we do have a provincial asset, which is deemed to be our source of truth for patient information. And it is a fantastic asset. And what HIM has been doing for the last number of years, and we've made some incredible progress with our health authority partners and with the ministry, is we have been linking our core clinical systems within the Lower Mainland to the EMPI, and that's Paris, Profile, Meditech, and Cerner. And the way it works basically is it's just a two-way link that basically allows the EMPI to push out the most accurate information about a patient, including their PHN, which is core to helping identify them as from a client identity perspective. And then as well, when patient X again walks into our hospitals and they maybe have new updated information about their address or something like that, we're able to push that up to the EMPI. So the bottom line is that anybody who's actively integrated with the EMPI throughout the province actually should be getting good, accurate, comprehensive information about the clients. The other thing I just want to mention is the information we do get is demographic right now. We don't get the photo of the patient, but we are actually in active conversations with the Ministry of Health and the health authorities to be able to do that. And just to give, and there's many reasons for that. One of the examples I'll give is if you think about a downtown Eastside clinic, primary care clinic, where you actually don't have clients presenting with the care card, having that photo ID come through the EMPI into our clinical systems really helps again with that client identity. So again, actively working through some of that. I'm not going to talk about all these. There's tons of benefits related to the implementation of EMPI. But I will mention the last one, which is the biggest benefit in my mind, is that it dramatically reduces, eliminates what we call duplicate and thin records. Thin records are records where we just don't have enough information to pull up that record about the client again. It's missing a PHN. It's missing demographic information so that when that client comes back and we're looking to, we're searching for them and trying to bring up the information, we end up creating a duplicate record for that client because we can't find that old one. And then, as you can imagine, duplicate records are not good because when a physician's caring for the client or the patient, they don't actually have all the information they need to provide that care. So I wanted to just share a couple of quick slides with you to show you the impact the EMPI has had with respect to the work we've done. So we actually implemented active integration with the EMPI with C&W Cerner in 2014. And you can see the number of thin records that we were identifying prior to that. And then you can see we went live in period 9, and you can see the dramatic decrease. So again, some just really amazing results. If you look at the duplicates, these are duplicate records, same deal as you can expect. Very high prior to that period, and then we start to see it go down. And in fact, now, if you ask my team, why do we even have duplicates, what they'll say is they'll talk about it and say it's more because it's what they call unavoidable duplicates, meaning that sometimes we do have patients present who are unconscious, we don't know who they are, we have to create a record, and, you know, again, by default, that's a duplicate. But we've just made some tremendous progress in this area. The other thing I just wanted to show you was Fraser Health. So we're actively integrated with the Meditech system in Fraser Health to EMPI. So again, you can see just the complete decrease in duplicate records. So it's really a fantastic initiative that has been underway and continues to be underway. So HIM will continue to be working with our partners to continue advance and make sure that we are integrated with that EMPI. Okay, health information exchange. I thought this was a cute quote. We have a very tired fax machine who's still working. Health information exchange, we are involved, HIM, in a number of initiatives. So from a Lower Mainland perspective, I just wanted to speak a little bit about notifications. So we've been working with Lionsgate, Providence Healthcare, Fraser Health, to actually enable the electronic delivery of admission death notifications to primary care physicians. So again, you can imagine the benefits that go alongside that. And we're continuing to work with VPP to roll out more. We also have an initiative underway called paperless report distribution. Just a bit of history here. Within the Lower Mainland, we actually contract and work with Acceleris to push out our HIM transcribed results, lab results, as well as some BC cancer screening results. To the private physician offices. And while I would say that we've made some great progress in them receiving that information from an electronic perspective, either through Acceleris Launchpad or directly in their EMR, we still have quite a bit being delivered through Canada Post, Courier, and fax. And so we are actively working with Acceleris, the doctors of BC, private physicians, and the health authorities to try and reduce that number. Because as you can imagine, we don't want to be continuing with paper as we move along the electronic spectrum of systems. We are also involved with a number of provincial initiatives. Again, I'm not going to get into all of these, but what I will say is results distribution standards is huge again for HIM. So we do sit on the provincial committees. The provincial committees are placing a big focus on clinical documentation architecture standards, provincial discharge summary content, working with the EMR vendors around conformance for accepting those standards. Because if you can imagine, we can do a lot of work on the health authority side to create the standards and move the data out in a discrete way. But if the EMR vendors aren't actually able to accept that, then of course we have a problem. So lots of work going on in that spectrum. We are active participants and providing feedback around report distribution strategy. So while I said we're currently using Acceleris for our results distribution, we know there's provincial work going on. We're a part of that to determine what might that solution look like in the future. Patient access strategy, again, very important as well. HIM very involved in that. A lot of focus on patient portals, where are we going with that work, and what we should we be doing there. And then the cross health authority data sharing as well. So really working at, okay, well, we're talking about links with the physician offices. What about those links and that health information exchange between the health authorities? And so HIM brings a lot of knowledge and participation to that work too. Patient-centered information technology is another area that we're really actively actively involved in. Some cute cartoon there. Two things I want to mention here that I think, again, are very exciting about what we're doing. We have an initiative called My eHealth. A couple of years ago, when we were moving to outsource our transcription services, we actually also started working with Accelerus and leveraging the Accelerus solution to deliver transcribed reports to certain PHSA patients. And so it was piloted with the sites I've mentioned there. What it does is it allows the patients, just like when they go to Accelerus to look up their lab results, they can go and they can now look up some of their transcribed results, which is very exciting. We did do an evaluation, I think it was about a year ago, to see how is that going. You know, this whole idea of patient access to their own health information, is it making sense? Are you liking it? You know, again, a bit of a pilot to really understand that. And we did find and hear that they loved it, and you can see a 93% participation rate. So for HIM, this is a really exciting initiative. It's one that we would like to see continue to roll out in some form or fashion to, you know, with respect to the other health authorities. And obviously plays into where we're going from a patient access strategic perspective, but very much on our radar and very exciting. The other is I want to just talk quickly about some work we've done around what I call self-service applications. So we implemented kiosks in Jim Pattison Center in Fraser in 2011 and have always since then continued to have a real interest in understanding where our registration technology is taking us, where are we going, what's out there, and what can we leverage. And so we did a review in 2015 and did look at some of the healthcare industry trends and what's happening. And, you know, probably no news to anyone. We see, you know, this idea of internet, mobile phone applications, again, for self-scheduling, appointment reminders, even service prepayments. So again, this idea that patients from home and can do some of these things, and then of course kiosks and the continued use of kiosks, and maybe even what I refer to, probably not the right way, but desktop kiosks, which I was in the U.S. a couple of weeks ago and saw these all over the restaurants, and they're amazing. You can order your food, you can pay, you can call your waiter or your waitress. But just this idea of these technologies and what can we be using to help advance and support patients in the way that they want to interact with our system, and in particular registration in this case. And so what we're doing now is we are going through an evaluation process. We're looking at the kiosks in Jim Pattison, trying to determine how successful have they been, but also keeping an open mind to, okay, what other opportunities are there, and where might some of the things that, where might we be able to pilot some of these technologies within our health authorities? So another big piece of work that we're involved in. The last sort of subject I wanted to just talk quickly about was information governance, because this is one that's, I guess in my mind, is evolving, and we really do see HIM playing a major role in. I thought this was really cute. The good news is my VP is here, so yeah, I do know who he is. But it's really this idea, I think the best way I can explain it, it's this idea that we all talk about, you know, where we're going from an information technology perspective, and we talk about all the information we have, and we have so much health information, you know, at our fingertips now, that really we have to be, there's just no question in my mind, that we have to be treating it as a valuable asset. We have to be saying, hey, you know, what is this, what do we have here, and how are we managing that information in a way that makes sense? And I'm not saying that we haven't all sort of known that in the back of our minds and are doing our best around it, but we have challenges. We have systems that are capturing data in different ways, different data definitions, different rules, you know, those sorts of things. We have just an expanded use of information for research, for quality improvement initiatives, for patient care. So again, that need for the information is big. Growing numbers of systems, interoperability, you know, we're integrating all of our systems. There's huge challenges around that. And so I think the best way I can explain it, or the way I think about it, is that we have all of these great information sources, but they're sitting in silos, and they're all over the place, and they might be connected, but even if they are connected, we don't really know and have a good handle on, you know, who's capturing what information and where can we get it from and that sort of thing. So for me, that's what information governance is about. It's about this idea of pulling together, pardon me, a framework that helps us identify a structure for how are we going to manage that information going forward. There's a number of definitions probably for information governance. I just pulled an Iron Mountain definition. Iron Mountain is one of our vendors for storage of health records, and I thought it was pretty good. So it talks about this information governance as being enterprise framework, again, valuing the information that we have, and again, placing a lot of emphasis on not only just data, because people, I think, sometimes think data is really what we're talking about, but it's more than that. It's policies, it's processes, it's roles, it's IT. What are the IT systems we're using? All of the above we need to be looking at. So just quickly, I think for us, health information management, we're really keeping a tab on the trend here and where we're going with information governance. We know AHIMA actually has now an adoption framework that includes principles, but also a five-level maturity level, which is kind of something similar to HIMSS, where you can actually and tools and assessment tools that you can use to actually assess how you're doing in your organization from an information governance perspective, and really then help set the stage for where you need to be going. Alberta Health has identified information governance as one of its key strategic priorities under the umbrella of health information management. I think that makes great sense, and I think we need to be really doing that and thinking about that going forward as well. And they are using a HIMA framework in terms of moving that work along. Deloitte, again, this is just some basic information, but Deloitte has some interesting sort of articles on information governance, which I wouldn't say is the full information governance framework, but does provide some guidance around it. And then Iron Mountain as well, who I've talked about, have been doing some preparing some briefing notes and some papers on this idea of information governance. And I think from a business perspective, they're starting to think about, okay, where are we going? We're largely in the role of paper record storage right now, but where are we going in terms of electronic health records, and how do we think about information governance as part of our business? So just the final note I'll make, again, is that HIM very interested in this space. And we do really see ourselves as taking a big role in being able to help the health organizations assess themselves. We are actually talking about or looking at creating a forum either in the spring or the fall, where we're hoping to bring together a number of stakeholders to talk about information governance, dive into it a little bit, just provide some education around it, and think again a little bit strategically about where can we start going with some of this. So that is it for me. But again, hopefully just give you a flavor for some of the initiatives that we're involved in that, again, are very much aligned with a lot of the provincial work that's going on and the work that all of you are doing as well.
Good. Wow. Thank you so much. You've got a lot of energy.
Oh, I hear that.
So, Shelley, before we open this to the floor, you just really got me thinking towards the end of that. Here we have a health information management service, and Yoel, you might want to dive in or not on this one, but health information management across the Lower Mainland has been one of the success stories, for sure. And you've done a tremendous job, so congratulations with that. But as you manage health information across different organizations, you've just alluded to some of the challenges, and you did it very diplomatically. But, governance of information when it's actually held and owned by the organizations presents its challenges. And as we all have our head in the space of getting access to larger data sets, the use of big data to be able to analyze that data intelligently and do better things with it, maybe get into using it for predictive analytics, give access to researchers, et cetera. Would you or UL like to speak to some of those challenges? Because I'm sure the audience would be interested.
Yoel, go ahead and I'll add.
Hi, thank you. There is a number of standing committees that the Ministry of Health has. One of them is a standing committee on performance measurement analytics evaluation. They have created a working group that has representation from the research community, from the data analytics performance measurement group, and from the Ministry of Health to streamline access to data for secondary purpose. And it's an active working group that's meeting biweekly to establish standards of business process for access across all of BC. And I think this has been talked about for a long time, but I think they're finally really getting down to a consensus and agreement and an expectation that through leadership from the Ministry of Health, they will be mandating some policy and procedure around access to data for secondary purpose. So I think that's terrific and great news. And the leadership from VCH around the General Health Information Sharing Agreement, the GISA, is providing a really useful framework for building onto what's been established as a successful model through the GISA to expand on for models for secondary purpose. So there is good work going on there, and I think that within a year we'll be in a very different place than we are today.
That's encouraging. Thanks, Joelle.
Paul, maybe I'll just add to that, just from an operational perspective. It is challenging. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And again, you've said it, and I said it in the presentation. The issue is that there is so many fingers in the pot. So many people sort of own and taking stewardship over different sort of pots of that, buckets of that information. And, health information management, I think from my perspective, I can say a couple of things. One is that we are responsible, again, for the health record policies of the organizations. So, i.e., saying here's what we need to be doing and here's what you need to be, how you need to be considering the storage of information and i.e., you need to know what you're storing and, those sorts of things. But it is a challenge. It's a challenge from a funding perspective and a resourcing perspective to be able to draw all that information together and really understand it and be able to basically operationalize it, I guess is really the word I would use. It is a struggle. And, I will just say I get back to this idea of partnership. And it really is, HIM again is a firm believer in all of the partnerships that we have with the various clinical areas and working very closely with them to try to understand what is happening and to draw out the information that we need to. And I think that's really helping. I think it's helping us be somewhat successful. But the bottom line is back to this whole information governance idea and the framework for it. As organizations, we have to be making it our top priority, and we have to be putting the resources and the funding, et cetera, and all the things that we need in place to make it happen.
Mm. Are there any questions from the audience on this topic? Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Behind you, Kate. Thanks, Shelley, and thanks for introducing us to the EMPI system. It's Great. Come onto my radar as a provider of PharmaNet services through MediNet, and we have a lot of clients doing hospital access to PharmaNet, but physicians that should be in that program that can't be because they're using PharmaNet to locate PHNs. So they're using name and date, look name and year of birth lookup. And they really, from a policy perspective, as we understand it from the ministry, should be using the health authority programs, that's hospital access and emergency. But there's that issue. And so we've recently learned about EMPI, and my question to you is, are the EMRs actively integrating that, or the health authorities? Some of my IMIT contacts and health authorities aren't aware of it yet. And sort of what's the timeline on that? How do you see that coming together? Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, no problem. So, I can only speak from the perspective of the Lower Mainland health authorities. I can't speak to where the other health authorities are with their active integration, but I can tell you, our expectation over the next couple of years is we're already quite far along with Meditech and Cerner. It's really looking at the Paris and the profile systems and getting them integrated with EMPI, and we're hoping to do that over the next couple of years. I'm hopeful that the other health authorities are well underway as well. I believe they are. I think there's been a lot of conversations with the Ministry of Health in getting there. The other partner, of course, is the Ministry of Health in all of this. And what I will say is that they are they have been just amazing and amazing partner in actually helping the health authorities along and getting people integrated. And so when you talk about timelines, I think what I can say is it's working with them. They drive out, you know, who are we, who wants to, who's ready to come on, and what do we look at doing next? And they're not only, we don't not only consider health authorities as part of that work, but they have also talked about even private physicians at some point and the EMRs, the core EMRs. Pharmanet, again, would be obviously another one. I think there's great support for this work going forward, and I think it's just a matter of getting to the ministry, getting on that map, and making it happen. So I'm very optimistic around all of the timelines.
Great.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Good news. Thanks, Shelley. Nancy, did you have a question? Was it you, Nancy, or UL? Yeah.
In between, thank you, and the information I generate myself. So I'm and the information that's generated between organizations. Oh, yeah. So I'm just wondering, how do we bring the consumer on? And I'm asking about the bigger picture.
Yeah, no, it's a great idea. I mean, I don't have, you know, the big answer obviously for you, because as I said, this is really evolving. But I think this idea of including the patient, for sure, as we evolve information governance and the work that we do, makes perfect sense. And I think, you know, we know within the health authorities and HIM that we do connect with patient advocacy groups to understand what their interests are, what the priorities are, and making sure that we bring that to the table. We know those discussions happen already, but I think you make a really good point. You know, as we're moving forward and again looking at information governance from a strategic priority perspective, that absolutely they should be at that table, because you're right, they do have information they're capturing themselves, and it should be part and parcel of the entire process. So I don't know the answer, but I think you make a really great comment, and it's a reminder to all of us to make sure that we actually are including the patients in this work.
Yeah. Great, thanks, Shelley. Right, the first hand that went, it was on the back table, I think. You win.
Hi, Shelley. Thanks. My name's Lindsay McNeil. I'm currently working as a project manager for a new agency called TransCare BC at PHSA. And so the goal of TransCare BC is to improve the client experience for transgender clients in the system of care. One challenge that our clients have is that they are at risk for duplicate and thin records, due to identity changes, gender changes as well. And I wondered what, I guess, discussions are happening or that could happen to improve that situation.
Yeah, thank you. So I can, so I won't be able to dive into the details around it, but I think what I can tell you and give you a comfort level around is that there are lots of discussions going on about how best. I think you said it was transgender. Is that? Just want to make sure I heard that right. Lots of discussions going on about the inclusion and how to capture transgender information. I don't know, to be honest. I'd have to go back to my team and look to understand how far along we are in doing that. But I can tell you, with the legislative changes, and not even because of that, but just again because of the need for it, that there is very much, it's at the table in terms of the best way to identify these particular patients and clients.
Thanks, Shelley. There's a question next to Bridget there at the end.
Hello, Shelley. It's Carol Bryan here. I'm just wanting to ask your thoughts and experience to date with information governance, as you identify as a big challenge, and the concept of shared information governance across health authorities, because patients, of course, move around and providers provide services across health authorities potentially and all of that. And is there any effort in place around establishing a maturity model that you're working towards, or some efforts in that arena?
So, Carol, I hope I got that all. I heard that all correctly. Sorry, did you say if we've got any particular strategy in place
yes.
right now? So
yes.
the answer is no. but the answer is that HIM does see ourselves in this space and really pushing forward to create a strategy around it. So, sort of getting back to the presentation, you know, we feel the first step actually in just starting to get there is to have some education sessions to bring our respective stakeholder groups together to have conversations about information governance, to understand what do we mean by information governance, to help people understand what is the IHIMA model, what does that adoption model look like, those sorts of things. And our hope is that if we can start doing that sooner rather than later, then we can start to create a sense of understanding and need to do this, which again would then play itself into this the strategic directions of the organizations. So I really see us really pushing forward with this over the next year because again it's so needed. But we're not quite there yet. We're just starting out the gate.
And I would add that it probably goes higher than the organizations. It requires the leadership at the ministry level.
For sure.
Yeah, sure.
For sure.
So another question. Where's the next one?
We have Corey and Doug.
Okay, we've got a big wave at the back there. Can I go there at the back?
Yeah.
She's really enthusiastic. Hello, how are you? Good to see you. We'll chat later, but not now.
Hi, everyone. Susan Seppa from Canada Health InfoWay. It's great to be back in BC, be back in this room. Good to see you all. Shelley, great job. Three points I want to make. One is Canada Health InfoWay has in their strategy over the next 5 years, and I'm sitting with my chief medical officer here who will correct me if I make the wrong statements, and Jim is over there in the corner as well, to support and enable the patient's access to their own information and support and enable and fund investments in projects across the country. So if we get our money from the federal government, then there will be initiatives in that space. And I just wanted to say that because that topic around patients' access to their own information has come up repeatedly this morning. Yeah. And then two other plugs of things that of partners we work with. We work with the Canadian Patient Safety Institute a lot as one of our national partners. And they have a group, Patients for Patient Safety, that have done a fair amount of work and research and papers on this. You can find the research on their website around very distinct, clear outcomes around patient outcomes when they are empowered to access their own information, they and their families. And then the third plug is an organization called Open Notes. Dr. Tom Delbenko, we had him come and speak at a clinical forum we just hosted last week. And again, you want some research and facts on the difference that makes, I would highly recommend that you start looking at those as
Great.
You're thinking about your strategies yeah. moving forward.
Fantastic. Thanks. Thanks, Sue.
Reminding everybody that we are recording the event, so those sort of plugs, which we'll charge you for advertising, of course, Sue, but... but we are recording the information, so we will be. Your comments are well received and will be used in a summary of the event. Who's next?
You tell me.
Sorry?
You tell me. Was it
okay.
Corey?
Corey, go for it.
Yep.
Hi, Shelley. It's Corey.
Hi.
In some areas, we're seeing like education, justice, Ministry of Children and Family Development starting to be a big part of the information governance loop. Are any of your users or clinicians asking for access to those kinds of things where frequent flyers, maybe, the registries and BC services card aren't health specific? They're across government.
Yes,
so how can
are.
We start seeing a little bit more to help families in that way?
So the shorter answer is we haven't necessarily had a lot of conversations with education and some of those other institutions, but I do see a real opportunity to be doing this. I know that I've also often been in conversations with you all when we're talking about information governance and the fact that it's not just healthcare, right? It's outside of healthcare. If you even use as an example human HR data in our organizations, you can and you start to think about how do you pull that data together. I think the example that we've used before is a nurse who has done 6-7 shifts, being very tired, and start to link that to what's happening on the ward in terms of falls, etc. And you can just imagine the value that you can get from that information in terms of making some decisions in terms of where do we need to go from a care delivery perspective, etc. And I think you can take that obviously, and you could extend that to education and some of these other areas. So we haven't been having conversations yet. I think we need to be having those conversations. I think one of the things I can say is that the partners with respect to the BC Services Card and moving that along are the Ministry of Technology and Innovation Services. It is the Ministry of Health. I think it's a matter of continuing to grow that partnership and start to bring those players in and just have those conversations to determine where that fit is. Gets back again to the whole partnership idea and just, as we're doing our pieces of work, again, making sure we're partnering with the right people, but keeping in perspective the bigger picture and doing everything we can in terms of governance and committees and just finding those ways to be able to connect in better. But I absolutely can see your point. It would be highly beneficial, for sure.
Thanks, Shelley. We've got time for one more question before
lunch. So last question, 1 minute.
Yeah. Doug, you got the last
one. Hi. Thank you very much for that presentation. So I'm one of the...
Stand up, Doug. Okay,
thanks. I'm one of the people who have benefited from the work of HIM. But with all the initiatives that are brought in, there's always a pro and a con. And I'm wondering, with a couple of little examples, if you could talk about what your process is for looking back at what you've done and how to fix those things. So the one thing is I noticed Fraser Health is on your slides at the bottom every time, but Fraser Health's information is not on CareConnect, even though you're managing it. And I've been bugging people about that for a year and a half, and it still hasn't happened. And that would be really helpful. Second thing is when the documents go to HIM and go to Accelerus and get sent back to Cerner and the printout, they come out in Courier, 12 font. There's lots of research that shows that that's the worst possible font to read. People make more mistakes reading it. And that's been understood for a long time in the scientific literature. We should be trying to fix that problem. Yep. And then with the MyeHealth, it's great for people who can get to MyeHealth, but it meant that the historical distribution of patient documents to families who need information about their kids was turned off, and a lot of those are vulnerable population people who don't have access to MyeHealth and can't do that. Yep. And so it's great to have a high-tech solution for people who live in the high-tech world, but you have to just make sure you're not leaving people behind.
Yeah.
So you don't have to answer the specific examples, but there needs to be a process whereby the pros and cons of the solutions are looked at and what they mean and how to deal with that.
Yeah. No, and it's a fantastic point. And I can tell you it's certainly something that HIM does try to do with any initiative that we're moving forward. So I'll just maybe make a couple of comments. One is that we do try and make a very big effort to evaluate, what it is we're doing and get that feedback. So again, if you use the MyeHealth as an example, we did formally do that evaluation, even though, yes, 93% satisfaction rate came back. Also, it came back was, okay, well, here's what's not working. That great. And we pick up on those pieces, and we have, we are a big believer in making sure that we have our resources focusing on not just getting it out there, but actually making those fixes, talk about the Courier or whatever, as best we can, given the complexities, again, of what we're working within. The other comment I'll just make, because you made the comment about, Fraser Health access to Care Connect. All I can say around that is that HIM, again, is one of the partners in working with the health authorities to, move down this, move forward in this journey of better integrated systems and access to the information. And so what we do, and what actually we're in a great position to do because we're a Lower Mainland consolidated department, I actually think there's I've seen huge benefits over the last 6 years, that's how long I've been with HIM, is we're able to go to the tables and say, hey, you know what? You should be doing this. Guess what? VPPs, they're over here doing this and they're making some great strides. So, you need to be thinking about what you're doing here. And so we're able to have those conversations and try to influence in the best way possible. Do we ultimately have the decision around what that health authority decides they want to do? No. But again, it gets back to this idea of partnerships and bringing and leveraging those assets, those conversations.
And we'll hear more about that when Bessie speaks later as well. Yeah. Are we, can we afford one more question, or are we done for lunch? We can make it really quick. Lady, and a quick answer as well.
It's not a question, it's a comment, actually. I'm Corey Tillier. I'm the Executive Director of Health Informatics for Fraser Health. So Fraser Health seems to be an elephant in the room, so I thought I'd better speak to it. within Fraser Health, we do have a core vendor philosophy. So Meditech is our core vendor in the acute care space. We have over 18,000 clinicians supporting over 3 million people in our Master Person Index in that system. Our community, we use Paris. We have over 3,500 clinicians using Paris in our health authority. We have an ambulatory care system called Profile. We have 400 clinicians using that, and it's on quite a growth curve at the moment. And we also have some niche products where we use GE in our perioperative space, and we use GE in our anesthesiology space. Anyways, to answer some of the questions, we use Health Information Exchange. And Cindy, you could talk to this much better than I could. So we do have a Care Connect type model where we use our core systems and we have the information go up to what we call USIN, our Unified Clinical Information Network. And through that, our clinicians can link right from our core systems through one button just in time. And it identifies the patient and the clinician, and they're shown the information from a summary for the health authority. We are working on connecting to Care Connect to share the information across the two systems between UCI and Care Connect, and that's going to be happening, looking at Cindy.
Soon.
Soon.
Soon's accurate.
What does soon mean? I'm not quite sure. But we are working on it right now between the two health authorities. So it is being worked on. To answer specifically, when a patient's in Fraser Health and then might end up in Vancouver Coastal or vice versa across the boundary, I think Health Information Exchange is our answer because even within a health authority, no system can do all for the care and the workflow processes for our clinicians.
Right. Thanks, Corey. With that, obviously, we're trying to get all the questions in. There are lots more questions that we don't have time for, but this subject of data governance and HIM is obviously a hot topic, so thank you all very much for your participation. And thank you, Shelley. What a great talk with all that energy. Thank you so much.
And that's it. We're on to lunch, so enjoy the lovely lunch outside provided by Beachumps again. Thank you.